Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths that we're glad to affirm in that song about you. We believe that you are one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that you are the Creator God, but you're the God who made yourself known to us in the person of Jesus. And we believe in the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus real and who lives in us and empowers us in our lives down here. But we believe that you died, Lord Jesus, and you rose again. And that through your death and your resurrection, you change and transform our lives as we put our faith in you. So we thank you that we don't just believe a set of doctrines and teachings this morning. We have a relationship with you, and we come to you, Lord Jesus, as your brother, as your brother. We come to you, Father, as our Father, your children. We come to worship you. We come to give you your worth. We come to adore you. We come to hear you speak to us. We come to, that you might speak to us and shape us and guide us and inform us. And yes, transform us through your word. So please, would you do that this morning? We would ask. Pray particularly for those who've come on this morning and that their spirits are disturbed by things that have been happening over the course of the last week, where they're at dis-ease within themselves. Those who are anxious, concerned for their families, for their own health, relationships. Lord, would you meet with those people? Would you just speak your words of calmness? And by coming to worship, would you meet with them and remind them of your love and your care, your compassion, your faithfulness to them, so that they will switch off this morning with a sense of peace restored to their hearts. Hear our prayers. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're here to worship, aren't we? And we're in the presence of God, and we come to him. And our God is greater than all of these other things. And it's lovely to remind ourselves near the beginning that our God is a faithful God. He's a good God. There's no shadow of turning with him. So our first song this morning, join in with it in your homes, I hope. Great is thy faithfulness.
They fail.
Maybe some of you have come online this morning. You just need to be reminded from the Lord that he's faithful and he's with you. His own dear presence to cheer and to guide. He's with you. And may we know that as we go into this coming week. So we're going to go straight into our Bible time. We're going to listen to what God has got to say to us this morning. And I hope not just listen, but it's learning. You know, we often talk about Bible teaching. Well, when I was a governor of a school, one of the things that we were told, it's not about the teaching, it's whether the children learn. A good teacher will help the children learn. And the important thing is the outcome. It's the attainment of the children. It's not there. The school isn't there for the teachers. You know, when we come to God's word, it's not about whether I can, you know, articulate things well. It's whether we learn and what the outcome's like. So let's this morning, always when we read God's word, let's think, what's it saying to me? What difference is it going to make? Let's hear what God's going to say to us today. Adriana and Lily are going to read for us. Ladies, do you want to introduce where you're reading from as well?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Our reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. The promise of the Holy Spirit. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing staring into heaven? Jesus had been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven into the same way you saw him go."
Amen.
Lovely. Thank you so much. That was brilliantly read. I think the next few weeks and the next few months for us as people, as a nation, are going to change, aren't they? Big days ahead as we look forwards to lockdown beginning to ease. In some senses, it already has. But I think May 17th, June the 21st are the key dates when things are really going to start to change. And we're starting to anticipate the freedom that we've had, not had for the last little while. Freedom to meet, freedom to socialise, freedom to get out and not worry of whether we're doing the right thing and the wrong thing. About to go back to a semblance of being normal. But then we ask ourselves, what is normal? What will normal be? We hear a lot about the new normal, don't we? At least I do. You know, the new normal. But nobody can tell us what the new normal will be. It means that along with the anticipation of releasing out of lockdown, there's a level of apprehension as to what we're actually going to face and what it's going to be. It's true in our nation, in our country. There's in general, but I think it's also true in churches. And us included, because we are going into a massive transformation as we go forward. We're looking forward to meeting each other again, aren't we? If I was with you, I'd be looking to see nods all round on that one. I'm sure that we're all looking forward to meeting together, to be able to sing God's praises together. I think when we were talking about the effects of lockdown last year, the thing that we all said was we miss being able to praise God together above everything else. I've missed that on Zoom. I mean, Zoom is great in many respects and it's helped us keep going, but if we're honest, it's a poor substitute, isn't it? Doing it like this, you know, I can't see you. I can get up close to the screen. And most of you, you know, you're far away and I can't see whether your eyes are open or closed. You know, I can hardly see whether you're nodding your head or not. I can just about see if you get up and go somewhere. But, it's a substitute. It doesn't hold a candle to the real thing. I'm looking forward to being back and we can be together. We can sing praises. I'm looking forward to being able to do this. Let God speak to us and do the teaching and the learning together. And to be able to see and sense where it's going and to feed off you, to be able to open the Bible, we can do it, but it's not the same. I'm looking forward to being able to sit together in church and out of church, but in church, just to come and sit with you afterwards and how you're going and having a cup of coffee and being able to pray with you at times. That stuff which sometimes I think we almost underestimate as part of church. The fellowship, the friendship, the connecting with each other, the encouragement, the support of each other that we're able to do. Sometimes when we sit and we weep with each other, you know, when you see each other and you just weep and that kind of stuff. And I know we do it at home and there's been a level at which that's been done at home and increasingly as we open up, but there's something about doing it together in church. And yet, even as we anticipate the changes that are coming, I think there's also that apprehension in churches and maybe for us as well, because in truth, not everything about lockdown has been bad, has it? There have been some things which, I'll be honest, I've really enjoyed about lockdown. Being able to go to church and not leave my lounge has been lovely. Just being able to switch the computer on, boot it up, all right, so I have to change things around a little bit and put a table on the table and a box on the table and then my laptop on there, and we have to kind of change our lounge around a little bit. That's actually much easier than getting up and having to go down to church. And, you know, for you, just being a turn up at the last minute. I don't know what most of you are wearing. You know, I can see your shirts. So I'm glad you got the top half dressed. But for all I know, some of you could have your boxers on underneath or your pajamas on. It's easy, isn't it? You haven't got to worry about putting your makeup on too much and making sure everything is right and all of that. And for those of you with children, If it's been anything like it was when our children were young, you know, having to get the children ready into the car. Come on, it's time to go. Oh, mum, no, no, no. And all of this kind of stuff. Sunday mornings were always the worst time for families. It was in our household. We seem to have more arguments on Sunday mornings, trying to get the children ready to get into church and get there on time. It was even harder for Andrea because usually I was already at the church. She was like a single mum. For you single mums, you single parents on Sundays, even if you've got a husband, some of you, your husbands don't come to church, you do it by yourself, you know, and it's hard, isn't it, often, but you haven't had any of that, and if the children get bored, they can go off and they can do something else. Hopefully they're able to do the activity sheets that we send out, but you haven't got to worry, shh, keep quiet, and all of that kind of stuff during the service. It's easier. And you know, one of the things I'll remember about lockdown, I haven't seen it lately, and I don't know whether Neil can reprise this for us, but those first weeks, we would be blessed going into the Venton household, into the Venton kitchen, and we would see Neil take out his batter puddings, and he'd start to carve the meat. You know, your mouth would almost be watering before he'd finished at that lovely joint of beef or whatever it was that he had. And the thing of being able to cook and we finish the service, or even before, if the preacher's going on a bit too long, go out, put the oven on, put the vegetables on. It's just, some things have been easier, haven't they, during lockdown. A number of you have said to me, lots of you have said to me, actually, and lots in other churches have said the same thing. Actually, the reduction of meetings that we've been had to go to, because things haven't happened, and just the fact that life has become slower, and we've not had the responsibilities to have to do, you know, looking at what rotor am I on this week, what have I got, have I got to do the flowers, am I on the church cleaning, am I on the welcome team, am I on the music team, am I on Sunday school teaching this week, all that. For the main part, we haven't had to, for most of us, it's been a reduction of that, and then the plethora of meetings and planning that we haven't had to do. Some things have been nice for us. But as we look now and we're thinking about going back to church, and we will do this year, we will go back to church. You know, we're on the finishing straight, and lots of churches are planning how they go back. Many are back already, but a lot are looking back, looking forward to May. And it's, they're all going through the same process, and I think rightly so. So I've just seen, talking about what you wear on clothes, and I'm just seeing some of the children running around. It's great, children running around in a way they'd never do, half dressed in church. Wonderful. Just proves my point, doesn't it? But thinking about church, what's it going to be like when we go back to normal? What's it going to be like when we do eventually start back at church? And churches up and down the country are thinking, and pastors and deacons and elders are going through the process. And they're uncertain about simply re-cranking up the engine and getting back onto the fast lane of church life where things go at 100 miles an hour. Cautious about the dangers of perhaps getting back onto a hamster wheel of keeping programs going, and looking and thinking, what do we need to do to be the church that God wants us to be? Do we need to do that? Are there things, how do we do them? And up and down our country, around the world, churches are thinking of that. And just because they're going back from a lockdown situation into restarting again. And you know, for us, I think that process is multiplied a hundredfold. I think the situation that we're in is quite unlike any other church that I know of, because not only are we going to be going back into church meeting together after what will be 18 months apart of not meeting in person, we're going to be going into a brand new purpose-built building. And that in itself, that changes so much. It's going to bring new opportunities and new challenges as well. New responsibilities. But you know, so we've got out of lockdown into a new building. It really will be a new chapter for us. And so this morning I'm starting a series that's simply called the new chapter. All right. And on the left hand side, I've just put that little icon of the person holding the key, and it's just representing a house exchange where people move and Mark and Charlotte have done this. But you know what? It struck me as quite remarkable that Friday night, the 2 days before I start this series, and I had no idea that it was going to happen like this, 2 days. 2 days before we go into our building and we clear it out and we move everything out. And 2 days later, we'll hand the keys over to the new owner. This time next week, we will not own the old chapel. It won't be ours. We will almost be homeless. It is a new chapter. The keys on the PowerPoint just representing the changes that are happening. And so it's an ideal opportunity for us to hear from God and let him speak to us as we move into this new season as a church, this new era, this new chapter. It's not out with the old and in with the new. It's a continuation. In one sense, it's a turning over of the page, but it's not forgetting what the page has been before. It's part of the ongoing story. It's a new chapter. It's a development, but it's the same church. When I hear, what is God saying for us now? Because when you turn over into a new chapter, new things are introduced. There's a new part of the story that's unveiled. Something in the storyline, in the plot line, will become apparent, a new scene. It's a new scene for us. What's going to become apparent? So in this, let's hear what God has got to say to us. Let's listen as we move into this new era. And in a way, we started to do this. You may or may not have picked up what I was doing at the beginning of the year when we started to look at the church, did a little series called The Church. And we looked at the church. We looked at what the church is. We saw that it's called out. The church is made up of those who have been called out by God. That's, you know, if you're part of a church, it's because of what God has done. We got called out. We're called out for a purpose. We're called to glorify him. And that's the predominant thing, that we're not a club. We're here for God. We're here to glorify him, to point people to him, and in our lives to glorify him. And one sermon went through the different ways, the different things that we do in order to glorify God, the different ways in which God is glorified. Then we looked at different images in the Bible of what the church is. And we looked at the church and compared it, how we saw how the scripture compares the church to the body, to a human body. And we saw how it compares it to a building, to the temple. We saw how it compares us to the bride of Christ. We saw how it compares us to an army or a battalion, if you want to keep the B's. So you've got four B's there, the bride, the building, the battalion, and the body of Christ. Now, as we move on, want to move closer, as we move closer to meeting, wants to dig down into that a little bit more, and have felt increasingly over the last few weeks that the Holy Spirit wants us to look in the book of Acts. And so this morning we start this series looking in the book of Acts, which I've headed up as the new chapter, or a new chapter, the next chapter. We're going to look and see what God is saying to us. And if we can apply what we see in the Acts of the Apostles, or rather the Acts of Jesus part two, if we can see that and apply it to ourselves, we'll be in a great place to be the church that God wants us to be. So this morning, I want to make a start on that and just draw out some things from the first few verses from Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through to 6. All right. So as we enter into our new chapter, as the keys are handed over from one building and we're anticipating going into another, as we're anticipating moving from being on lockdown into out of lockdown, what's the Spirit going to say to us? I want to pause and pray, and then we'll have a look at the word. Lord Jesus, as we are here this morning as your church, we ask now that you will start to teach us about the future, that as we give you thanks for the past, we don't want to lose the past. We don't forsake the past, but we're looking forward. And we would ask that you will show us and you'll teach us things that you've got, that we might bring out things old and new, and that we will be shaped in the future as you want us to be. So would you help us? Would you teach us through your word just now? Amen. Right. So the first thing this morning, if you've got a Bible, really would encourage you to have it in front of you. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, I, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So this is written by Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. So Saint Luke, Theophilus, this is a Roman guy that he was writing to. Theophilus, I'm writing, in my former book, in the book of Luke, I started to tell you what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. What Acts does, it's the same writer, he's going to describe what Jesus continued to do after he'd gone back into heaven. And this is the heading. We've got some simple PowerPoints this morning just to help us to nail this. So we look at this. This is the first thing. Jesus, this is what the first thing for us to learn. Jesus wants to continue his work through us. Or I want to make it more personal than that. Jesus wants to continue his work through you. So number one in this series, the Acts of Jesus, part two. With the Acts of Jesus, part one is Luke's gospel. The Acts of Jesus is part two. It's the Acts of the Apostles. We call it the Acts of the Apostles, but actually it's the Acts of Jesus. And what we see here is that Jesus wants to continue, or Jesus does continue his work through us. Luke's gospel was just the beginning of what Jesus did. And it's like Luke says to this Theophilus, Theophilus, I'm going to tell you what Jesus has continued to do, what he continues to do since his ascension into heaven. You see, Jesus didn't stop doing the things that he'd been doing on earth when he went to heaven. He continued and he continues his work. Only now he doesn't do it through his physical body because he's in heaven. He does it through his earthly body, through his church. Which is why it's so important for us to understand that we are the body of Christ with all that means. But now Jesus is doing his work through his body. And it takes us back to words that he spoke to his disciples immediately before he was crucified. John chapter 14. This is what he said to them in the upper room before he was arrested. He said, very truly, in other words, when that's the old version, the old traditional thing, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Well, it means, listen, stop, take note of this, because this is absolutely, definitely true. I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. So we will do, as we're believers, we will do the works that Jesus has been doing. And he says, remarkably, we'll do even greater things. I'll explain the greater things in a few moments. He says, because I'm going to the Father. Do you get that? Do you get it? You will do the works that I've been doing. Not you'll do similar kind of things, but you'll do the works that I have been doing. You're going to carry on doing what I have started. In other words, he says, I'll do my work through you. In John chapter 20, so by this time, Jesus has been crucified. He's come back to life. And he's meeting now with his disciples in the upper room, locked down for fear of the Jews. And he meets them in verse 21. And he says, as the Father sent me, so now I am sending you. So here's the first church in a lockdown situation. And what are they to do as they come out of lockdown? As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. They were to go out from lockdown with the same commission, the same mission that Jesus had. He said, I am sending you. And the same way the Father sent me. How did the Father send Jesus? Well, the Father sent Jesus into the world to do his work. There was an agreement. There was a covenant. There was an agreement between the Father and Jesus that Jesus would come and do the work of the Father here on earth. What was that work? It was to bring the message of salvation and to work and bring the message of reconciliation between a holy God and a sinful group of people. Jesus' message was of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God on earth, with the rule of God, where Jesus would be the king, and those who come under him and are willing to submit and follow him as their leader, those who are willing to be his followers and his disciples, they would be in the kingdom. It would be a kingdom of the people would have a new nature, a changed heart. He would take out a heart of stone and put in them a heart of flesh. They would be new people, able to do and to live the ways of the kingdom. It would be a kingdom with better rules, a better, fairer, kinder way, the kingdom of God on earth. This was the Father's work. This was the work that Jesus gave, that the Father gave to Jesus. And he says, as he sent me into the world to usher in that kingdom, to bring reconciliation, so I am now sending you out to carry on that work. As the Father sent me, I am now sending you to continue that work. In fact, I will do that work through you, my body. The work that I started, I will continue, is what it's saying. So in John 20, Jesus commissions his disciples to go out and continue the very same things that Jesus had been doing. But he said, even greater. As I did the Father's work, so you will do my work, and even more than I have done in the days to come. As the Father worked in me, so I will work through you to bring about these things. You know, as I wrote that, I wrote one word on my notes here. It's just wow. Wow. That is what we have. That's what he's called us for. That's what our mission, that's what our purpose is. That's what we're going to be about as we go out of lockdown. We've got that commission to go and do the works of Jesus. That's what he's been called us for. It makes our work supremely important. It makes our ministry, it makes our church life, it makes our faith and our work with God supremely important, that Jesus is working through us to continue his mission on earth. We're not here simply as an organization. We're not here as a club. We're not here to satisfy us. We're not here as a religious group. We're not here to bring a religious aspect to the village. You know, that there's the Scouts, there's the Women's Institute, there's the Oily Rag Club, there's the Mothers Union. They all bring something good to the village. And it's not just that we're here to bring a spiritual angle to it. No, we're here to carry on the mission of Jesus. We are his body on earth, through whom he is doing his work. What a calling we've got, and what a privilege to have been called by Almighty God, commissioned by him to say, I'm going to work through you. What a wonderful thing, a huge privilege. What a responsibility. What a responsibility. So we better get it right, hadn't we? We better make sure if we're representing him, if we're about his mission, that we're doing his mission his way. As we come out of lockdown, as we move into our new building, I think he wants us to hear those words that he gave to his disciples. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. I think this is his message to us this morning from him to us. It's kind of a recommissioning. I'm sending you out to go out. He doesn't want us to simply move into a new building, but rather to go out into Fressingfield and Sylam and Wingfield and Metfield and Pixie Green and Crapfield and Mendham and Stradbroke and Harleston, Needham and wherever else you're living. He's wanting us to move out from a building, which is a bit ironic, isn't it? When we've just built a new building, actually, he wants us to go out. He wants us to go out, to continue what he's doing, to continue making disciples. It's easy to think, well, going out is about evangelism. Ah, evangelism, we evangelize because people don't worship. We evangelize so that people might come and worship, so that they might come and be his disciples. And so the going out is to share the message. but it's the message not only of conversion, but it's a call to discipleship. It's a call to follow Jesus. It's a call to be devoted to Jesus. It's a call to come and let him be our rabbi. Let him be our teacher and our leader. That's our calling, not simply to go out, but for us to become like him in our lives, to be followers of Jesus, to let him have absolute authority in our lives. So number one thing that we can learn right at the beginning here, Jesus began that work and he's continuing it, but he continues it through you and I, individuals, and he does it through us as a church. That brings us to the second thing. How are we doing on time? I need to speed up a little bit. The second thing is that, all that being said, is that God's kingdom is the most important thing in your life. If I was to ask you, what is the most important thing for you? What is the thing that dominates your life? What is it that shapes your thinking, your decision making? What is it that takes up most of the thoughts when you're not doing the other things you have to do? Where do your thoughts go? What is your delight? What is it that shapes everything? And given that Jesus wants to do his work through us, and that's his intention, given that he sends his disciples, and this was not, when we think of the disciples, it was not just the 12. There were 120 disciples with them. And if we take it about the apostles, the 12, well, he told them to teach everything that he had taught them, and he had taught them to go out into the world. So we know that this applies to all of us. We're all in this mission. It's not that there's some sort of like special people, the pastors and the deacons and the elders. You know, that's their job. And we're just a supporting act. No, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. So it means this is the most important thing for us. But I'll tell you another reason why I know it's the most important thing. Having commissioned the disciples to go out into all the world, we find here, it says that verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And what did he do? If you've got 40 days left of your life, what are you going to do? You're going to do the things that are most important, aren't you? You're going to dedicate yourself to what is absolute prime importance. What did Jesus dedicate himself to? What did he spend the time talking about? And spoke about the kingdom of God. You see, all that Jesus was doing in the upper room discourse, so John 13, 14, 15, 16 and 17, if you know your Bible, there's intense teaching, and it's all to prepare them for the time when he's gone, all to prepare them for the mission, all to prepare them how to go out and how to make disciples. And here he is, the last little bit, the last 40 days, he's teaching them about the kingdom of God. Of all the things he could have spoken about, of all the things that he could have been teaching them, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. We don't know exactly what the content of that was, but I would think he would teach them about the need to get in, the need to tell people you need to get into the kingdom of God, because this is the only kingdom where eternal life is found. I think he would have been teaching them about how to get in. How are people saved? How are they rescued? How do they get into the kingdom of God? And then I believe he would have been teaching them, how do you live in the kingdom of God? Once you're in, what kind of people are you? What are you to be? How are you to act? What are your priorities? What kind of people? You find all of that kind of stuff in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching them a new culture, a new kingdom. And here at the end, he teaches them about the kingdom of God, to be disciples and not just converts. We, I think, need to really have in our minds as God's people, you know, that the most important thing about the the leaving of lockdown, the easing of lockdown, is not that we're going to be able to socialise, not that we're going to be able to have people around to have meals, not that we're going to be able to go and do our shopping, not that we can get haircuts and all of those kind of things. Lovely as they are, the most important thing for us as we come out of lockdown is to share the kingdom of God. It's to share the message of the kingdom of God. There is honestly nothing more important in our lives than this. It's not our families. Jesus said, unless you come after me, and unless you're willing to forsake your family, unless you're willing to leave everything behind so that your dedication to me makes your love for the most dearly, the precious things to you, almost seem like hatred, unless you're willing to do it, you can't come after me. You can't be mine. Jesus said, the most important thing is the kingdom. Wow, that's so different, isn't it, to the way we normally think? It's more important than church, more important than church life and the way we do church. It's more important than our work, more important than our career, more important than our families. So easy for us to get caught up in church life. What are we going to do in church? How are we going to run? What's this meeting going to be? What's that meeting going to be? Making sure that everything's done well and done properly, and we've got the right things in place, and we have our committees and our meetings to make sure that everything's right. Do you know, sometimes we can lose the wood for the trees. And we can get so caught up with our meetings. We have meeting-itis, and it stops us doing the kingdom. And we can so love being involved in church that sometimes we don't let the Spirit change us into the people that God wants us to be. It's not about what we do, it's what we are. We can have the slickest, loveliest building. We can have the most wonderful program. But if we're not right, you know, if the fruit of the old nature dominates the fruit of the new nature, then we're in trouble. Because the kingdom is about being disciples. It's about converts becoming disciples of Jesus, but going out and bringing people in and seeing people's characters and lives changed. And we need to be working with that. It's not just about growing in numbers. It's about growing in maturity. It's about growing in Christ-likeness. We use the word sanctification. It's about being like Jesus. That is the most important thing for us. But then the last thing, and I think this is perhaps the most important, but it's going to be the briefest because there's a lot more about this as we go through. Given that we're called to go out and share the message of the kingdom, we're to bring people in and we're to see them become disciples, and we are to become disciples. Let's not think about this as them. We are the ones that are become to be the disciples. And if we've got Jesus wants to work through us, we might well feel, and I often feel this, wow, how can I do that? I'm not worthy. I'm Stuart. I've got three O levels to my name. I'm not worthy. I'm not clever enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I don't understand enough. I don't understand the Bible enough. And I feel that now. And I've been a pastor for 35 years. And I find a lot of people think, but I'm just me. How can I do that? How can I possibly? How can Jesus do his work? And he didn't he say you'll do greater works? How can we possibly do greater works than Jesus did? Well, he gives us the answer here. And this is the third thing. Jesus wants to continue his work through you. God's kingdom is the most important thing in your life. And here's the third thing. You have the same power that Jesus had. You have the same power that Jesus had. Do you know that? That the one who's at work in you is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. You see, we need to understand this about Jesus. The work that Jesus did, he didn't do in his own innate power. When Jesus came from heaven, he left the glory of heaven. He left all the rights of heaven. He left the power that he had in heaven behind. And he clothed himself in humility. So all that Jesus did, he had to do the same way as we do, by faith in God. And before he started his ministry, the first thing that happened was that he was baptized. He identified himself with his people and in obedience to God. And then immediately as he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him and filled him. And it was then in the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus went out doing the things. He didn't do them because he could do them. He did them in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And we might think, well, how do we know he did that? Well, verse 2 says that Jesus gave them instructions through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus did healings. He raised the dead. He did that by the Holy Spirit. What about teaching something ordinary? He did it through the Holy Spirit. I find that immensely encouraging, because we'll see a lot more of this as we go through the Acts. And we see how this lockdown church coming out and able to make such a difference. It was all about the Holy Spirit. It was all that the Holy Spirit did through them, in the same way that all that Jesus did, he did through the Holy Spirit. You see, that's how we can do the things that Jesus did, because we've got the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus that lives in us, that will enable us to do the same things and will give us the power. And it will be him that speaks through us. It's not us. It's him that does the work. Well, what about the greater things? Does it mean that we're going to perhaps do more miracles, that we'll raise the dead and we'll see people coming back to lame walking and blind people see? Well, praise God, those things do happen. But I have to say, I've not seen many of those in my life. I actually haven't seen anybody raised from the dead. I haven't seen any blind people being able to see. I've not had too many people being able to walk again. I have prayed for people and they've found greater mobility afterwards. I have prayed with people and God has changed things in their life. I'm not going to tell you this morning, we haven't got time, but there have been times when I've prayed and people have come back afterwards and said, you know, when you prayed for me, that happened. And just when you prayed for me, something changed in my life. So I do absolutely believe in the power of God. But I don't see that anywhere near as greater than the works of Jesus. So what were the greater works of Jesus? It's quite simply the extent of the works of Jesus. The geographical spread. When Jesus was here, his work was confined to Jerusalem, to Palestine, to Israel. And when he left 120 people tops that were believing in him. That's not many. The disciples, the 12, and the rest of the disciples that were with him had one day preaching, and 3,000 people were added to the church. And very soon, through various reasons and various causes, those people were scattered into different places around the then known world. And the word went out into Samaria, and it went to Italy, and it went to Greece, and it went to Turkey, and it went to Syria, and it went down into North Africa, because the people of God were spread. That is the greater work. When Jesus was here, it was limited to a small group of people, to a small group, geographical area. When he went, it burst into a world changing, history changing, and it's still growing. The church is still growing and it's still expanding. It's still breaking new ground. The kingdom of God is growing. Might not be in our country, but it's growing numerically around the world. You know, there's more people becoming Christians today than at any point in history. And yet the kingdom of God can still grow, continue to grow in your life as Jesus has more rule, more rights, as you yield yourself over to him more and more. That is the kingdom of God growing in you. What does the Lord's Prayer, what did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Let your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Do you pray that prayer? I pray it most days. Lord, would your kingdom come? Would your rule become? Would you come in my life more? Would you take control of my life more? I want to issue that encouragement. Pray that prayer. Lord, would you control my life more today than you did yesterday? There's perhaps areas of your life and I have to look. Where are the recesses that he's not in control? Is he in control of my money? Is he in control of my temper? Is he in control of my desires? Is he in control of my time? Or do I hold on to those? Do I need to let him go? The kingdom of God growing. He will do it. The Holy Spirit of Jesus through you. Jesus will do his work through you. Little old you, plain old you, plain young you, uneducated you, countryfied you. He will work through you in your office. He will work for those of you who are educated, those of you who've got letters after your name. He will work through you. He will work through all of us. It's not one of us. It's not a full small group of us. It's all of us, every single one. This is the great thing of the New Testament. I will come to see this, that it's everybody. There's no tiers. There's no structure. It's all of us. And boy, are we going to have some fun as we look through Acts and we see that the Holy Spirit came on all people, the young and the old, the men and the women. They were all in it together. So we'll be seeing, you can't leave it to me. You can't leave it to the elders. We're in this together. We're family and we're going to do this. What does he ask of us? He simply asks that we're willing to be open, that we're willing for him to work through us, that we're ready and receptive and available for him to do his work through. We're together as family. Can I ask Jeff if he'll lead us in our prayers this morning, please?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. And we thank you that once again, we've taken a look at the cross. And we just thank you once again for dying in our place. And we pray that as a new chapter begins, that you will help us all. We remember you said in your word, without me, you can do nothing. And we need your help and your strength. We thank you for the old chapel and all those who were saved there and bore testimony to their faith in you. And we pray that as we think towards the new building and coming out of lockdown, we might seek your help, Lord, that we might be doing your will and that we might be spreading your word. Help Stuart as he ministers to us. Help the deacons and give them the wisdom that they need. And we pray that each one of us might feel that we are called by you to do our small part. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We need your strength. And we just pray for all those who are struggling at this time. We've heard a lot of names of those unwell. And Lord, you know the struggles they go through. Be with each one, we pray. And we just thank you for prayers that have been answered. We thank you too for all those who have come to faith in you. And we pray that when we get into the new building, we might witness many testimonies and see many baptisms. And we give all the praise and the glory to you in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jeff, thank you so much. Bless you. So let's finish this morning. Lots and lots to think about there. Probably too many words, but I hope they're spirit-filled words. The lovely song, the salvation song. And it just reminds us of what Jesus has done and the glory and the praise and the honour that will come to him. So let's finish our worship this morning, our time together with this lovely song by Stuart Townend, Salvation Song.
By my Maker, hidden in my Savior, I am His and He is mine, cherished for eternity. When I'm stained with guilt and sin, He is there to live. I am given, I will save.
So some words from the scripture to finish with: to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour. To him be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. I hope what I said this morning, what the Lord said to us from his word this morning, has kind of provoked some thoughts. What is, if we were together, I'd be encouraging you to sort of go away and have a chew over. What does it mean in real life to put the kingdom of God first? Does it mean we've all got to become pastors or missionaries and that kind of thing? What does it mean? How does that work out? Those of you got businesses, you got to sell your businesses and, you know, become pastors. Practical stuff we can think about at some point, but I'll give you a clue. No, it doesn't mean that. So well, how does it work out? All right, good to see you all. God bless you.